Welcome to our Nanolysis podcast. In this episode, we will get an understanding of the nanolysis principles, applications, and what diseases could be targeted. So, Dr. Thompson, could you explain me in very brief details, what do you mean with the word nanolysis?
Certainly, Dorothy, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to cover this exciting technology today. The nanolysis is a combined word derived from nanotechnology and electrolysis. In our experimental work, which is now covered by several patents, we have demonstrated that nanoparticles can enhance the biophysical phenomenon called electrolysis. Several companies are working on this, and one of our competitors, Nanobiotics, has a slightly different approach than us and has demonstrated complete tumor removal with their techniques. So in short, nanolysis simply means nanoparticle enhanced electroporation.
Okay, that raises immediately one question. And excuse me for my ignorance, but what is electroporation?
Electroporation is a technique where an electrical field is utilized to generate nanometer-sized pores in the plasma membrane of living cells, which is the outer membrane within which the cell is defined. By creating these pores, scientists have used them to transport, for example, DNA into the cell and introduce new genes in cells. After a brief electrical pulse of a few microseconds, the pores form, the external DNA can enter, and the pores eventually seal back again. However, if the field is sustained for a period of milliseconds, the pores can become so large that the cell cannot recover. That is an unspecific technique, but by using specific metal nanoparticles targeted against specific cells, for example, antibiotic-resistant bacteria, the electroporation can become specific and only ruptures the targeted cells and leave the other cells unharmed. And this is the principle of the nanolysis technique.
So, the next question that comes to my mind, how do you make a nanoparticle specific for a given bacteria? You mentioned antibiotic-resistant bacteria. These, I believe, are very difficult to treat because they do not react to antibiotics. So, if they don't react to antibiotics, how do you make them react to your nanoparticles? Sorry, that was two questions.
Yeah, you are on the right track. The very idea behind the nanolysis technique is that you do not need to have a biochemical reaction with the particle you bind to a bacteria. You just need it to bind. The effect comes from the enhancement of the induced external electrical field, which then gives the effect that kills the bacteria. Now, how you bind a specific molecule that can bind to a specific bacteria to a nanoparticle is another matter, and it can be done in the following ways. There are several ways to achieve this, each with its own set of techniques and binding groups. Let's start with some foundational methods. Direct binding of biomolecules to metal nanoparticles. Gold, Au, to thiol, SH. Gold nanoparticles have a high affinity for thiol groups. This is because sulfur atoms in thiol groups form a strong covalent bond with gold. You can functionalize gold nanoparticles with proteins, DNA, or other biomolecules that have thiol groups. Silver, Ag, to thiol. Similar to gold, silver nanoparticles also bind strongly to thiol groups. This method is used to attach thiol-containing biomolecules to silver nanoparticles. Covalent coupling carbodiamide chemistry. This involves using EDC, 1-ethyl-3-3-dimethylaminopropyl carbodiamide, and NHS, N-hydroxysuccinamide, to create a stable bond between carboxyl groups on nanoparticles and amine groups on biomolecules. This technique is popular for attaching proteins and antibodies. Maleimide chemistry. Maleimide functionalized nanoparticles react specifically with thiol groups on biomolecules, forming a stable covalent bond. This method ensures long-term stability of the functionalized nanoparticles. Electrostatic adsorption. Cationic nanoparticles. These nanoparticles have a positive charge and can electrostatically attract and bind negatively charged biomolecules, such as DNA or certain proteins. Anionic nanoparticles. Conversely, anionic nanoparticles have a negative charge and can bind positively charged biomolecules, like certain proteins and peptides. Physical adsorption. Hydrophobic interactions. Some nanoparticles and biomolecules have hydrophobic regions that interact non-covalently. This method is often used to attach proteins and peptides to nanoparticles. Van der Waals forces. These weak non-specific interactions can also be used to adsorb biomolecules onto nanoparticles, although they are more suitable for temporary or reversible functionalization. Biotin streptavidin system. Biotinylated nanoparticles. Nanoparticles can be functionalized with biotin, a small molecule that binds very strongly to streptavidin or avidin. This high affinity interaction is widely used for attaching biotinylated biomolecules to nanoparticles. Click chemistry azide alkyne cycloaddition. This is a highly specific and efficient reaction between azide functionalized nanoparticles and alkyne modified biomolecules. It's known for its bioorthogonality, meaning it doesn't interfere with natural biological processes, making it ideal for attaching a variety of biomolecules. Polymer coatings, pegylation, polyethylene glycol. Nanoparticles can be coated with PEG to improve their biocompatibility and solubility. PEG can have functional end groups like amines, carboxyls, or thiols, which can then be used to attach biomolecules. Avidin, biotin. Conjugation. Avidin, biotinylated nanoparticles. This method leverages the strong non-covalent interaction between avidin, or streptavidin, and biotin to attach biotinylated biomolecules to nanoparticles. It's known for its specificity and robustness. Summary. To summarize, functionalizing metal nanoparticles with biomolecules involves several techniques, each with specific binding groups. Gold and silver bind strongly to thiol, SH groups. Carbodiamide chemistry links carboxyl groups to amine groups. Malimide chemistry reacts with thiol groups. Electrostatic adsorption uses charge interactions between cationic, anionic nanoparticles and oppositely charged biomolecules. Physical adsorption relies on hydrophobic interactions and van der Waals forces. Biotin streptavidin system uses biotin streptavidin avidin interactions. Click chemistry involves azide alkyne cycloaddition. Polymer coatings, pegylation, utilizes functionalized PEG for biomolecule attachment. Each method has its advantages depending on the specific properties of the nanoparticles and the biomolecules you are working with.
That was comprehensive. So, we have a toolbox of different techniques for functionalizing metal nanoparticles. Let me now get to one point I wonder about. You have now functionalized a nanoparticle with a specific target molecule against a specific bacteria. Why do the bacteria not develop resistance against that?
You are completely right. The bacteria will develop resistance against that binding. This is the evolutionary trick that bacteria can perform because they have a very short division cycle and a high mutation rate, and quickly the bacteria population will contain bacteria to which our functionalized nanoparticle will not bind. However, it's about our time frame. In the pharmaceutical industry, thousands of people work to create molecules that specifically can kill bacteria or cancer cells. It takes a very long time to develop a new candidate drug and an even longer time to get it approved. The bacteria can develop resistance against a new drug in an afternoon. However, remember, with the nanolysis technique, we do not have to have a specific biochemical function associated with our binding. We just need to bind. And for each drug candidate, there are thousands of molecules in the pharma industry's toolbox that can bind. Now, you can utilize a set of these to make a concerted effect, And now the bacteria will have to mutate EG out of 10 different molecular bindings rather than one, and that is much more difficult. Therefore, the nanolysis can circumvent the resistance development because we can produce new candidate drugs in a very high speed, and we can utilize those in combination with each other and target the bacteria or cancer cell in many different ways at the same time. The effect is given by the external field.
Thank you for a very clear presentation. In the next episode, we will deal with applications and therapies in which the nanolysis technology can be applied.